Today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
If you were following the fate of the beluga whale that swam up the Seine in the last week, I'm afraid we have some sad news that has just come into us. It has had to be euthanized during the course of the transfer because it became either distressed or in sufficient pain that it just wasn't worth trying to prolong the effort. So that's... Look, at least they tried, didn't they? They really did try their best there. But sad news nonetheless. Now, probate specialist Elaine Byrne is here and ready to answer your questions about wills, inheritance, probate and all of the issues that go with them. If you have any questions for Elaine, please text us on 51551 or email todaycb@rte.ie. Elaine, good morning to you. We're going to start with this one about a brother contesting a will. It reads, I'm one of three children. My two siblings left Ireland many years ago. I cared for my late mother for over 20 years until she went into a home with dementia. My mother made her will when she was compos mentis and left the family home to me as I was looking after her. She left money to my siblings. My brother is contesting her will. How long can he delay the administration of the estate? I'm concerned that I have not paid back the Fair Deal loan.
So maybe, Philip, if we look first of all at the Fair Deal scheme, so the listener has mentioned this. So the nursing home loan, it's an optional element of the Fair Deal scheme. And it's available if I'm in a nursing home and I have assets, so maybe land or a house, and it means that I can delay paying for my care until after my death using these assets to secure the loan. Now, as the listener has indicated, the loan will need to be repaid after my death. So there's a period of 12 months to repay the loan. And if it's not repaid within this period, there would be interest, would start from date of death, and it's currently 0.0219% per day. Now, just for this listener, I think it's important for him or her just to note that there is an option whereby certain persons can apply for a deferral of the nursing home loan. And one of those categories is any person who cared for the person in care prior to the person going into the nursing home. So I suppose, Philip, if we get to the nub of the question, so how long can the listener's brother delay the administration of the estate? And I would say potentially for years, unfortunately, but I think it might be helpful to look at costs. Now, we don't know the basis upon which the brother is contesting the will, but let's say he's contending that the listener's mother didn't have capacity at the time that she made the will. So the listener could gather in evidence. So he could get maybe the doctor's certificate, the solicitor's notes, lots of evidence to show that the mother had capacity. And he could then give everything to the brother and say, look, here's the evidence. Our mother had capacity to make the will. And if you proceed with this case, then you will be responsible for the costs, as opposed to the costs coming out of the mother's estate. And maybe by adopting this approach, it might preserve the estate, but it also might avoid protracted litigation.
And just go back to Fair Deal for one second. In the administration of an estate, will the nursing home or the tax man go to the top of the queue?
Yes. So it's administered by the revenue. And yeah, they want their money, so they would have a charge against the house. So nothing can be done with the house until that's
until they have been sorted out. Yeah. Okay, let's move on. The next question concerns a father's will. My father died 20 years ago. All his estate was in joint ownership with my mother, and so his will was disregarded. Can I get a copy of his will, and does it have any legal status after my mother dies?
So maybe if we just remind ourselves just about joint ownership. So when we own property with another, so we can hold it as tenants in common or joint tenants. So if we hold it as tenants in common, we are free to leave our share to another under our will. But if we hold it as joint tenants, it passes to the other automatically. So the listener's father's property, it passed to his wife by survivorship without recourse to the will. So regarding getting a copy of the will, wills are publicly available, but only if probate was extracted. And if not, as is the case here, then only the executor is entitled to a copy of the will. And then regarding the legal status of your dad's will, it wouldn't have any legal status after your mum's passing. So maybe if we just say, look at the family home as an example. So it was in joint names. So on your dad's death, it passed to your mum. Now, your dad in his will, he could have provided that if his wife predeceased him, that it would pass to his child, for example, the listener. But this clause is irrelevant, and the family home, it's going to pass in accordance with the terms of the listener's mother's will. And look, she may have made the same provision, or she could have devised the family home to another family member. But Philip, the important point to bear in mind is that the property will now pass in accordance with the listener's mother's will.
And the father's will is kind of redundant or moot by that, by virtue of that. The next question is from a woman in relation to her son. She asks, is it possible for me to give my son, who is resident in the UK, a lifetime interest in my house? It will eventually go to my grandchildren. Can he rent it out during his lifetime?
So yes is the quick answer to both questions. So I think then that there are three important steps for this listener to take in order to achieve her objective. So number one, so when she's making her will, so she might include a paragraph. So she might say that I give, devise and bequeath my house, say in Donnybrook, to my son for his life and after his death to my grandchildren. And the listener could, by including that paragraph in her will, she has created what's called a settlement under the Land and Conveyancing Law Reform Act of 2009. And she therefore needs to appoint trustees. So she could appoint her son and somebody else as trustees. And then number three, I would say that she should include powers for trustees in her will. Now, there is, under the legislation, the trustees have power to permit a beneficiary to occupy or otherwise use the land on such terms as the trustee thinks fit. So the son could rent out the house. But I also think it's really important for the listener, I suppose, to think ahead with a view to avoiding potential difficulties down the line. So who's going to pay the insurance, the local property tax, and maybe just to specify this in the will?
Okay. And he can't leave this property in his will to anybody else
but
the children?
No, it automatically goes
to the grandchildren.
Grandchildren.
Who are his children anyway, but that's interesting. Okay. The next question concerns the legitimacy of a will. Is it legitimate and legal that a will is made with another person present besides the solicitor? My mother remained in the room while my father made his will and directed him with regard to the terms of his will. He's now deceased and a farm that was in his family for generations was willed to my son, but through her. She's now in poor health, possibly in need of nursing home care. Is there any means of saving this asset from being included in the assessment of assets for the payment of her care?
Okay, so firstly, if we look at the legitimacy of the will. So Section 78 of our Succession Act, so this provides that to be valid, a will shall be in writing and it'll be signed by the person making the will in the presence of two witnesses. So the other point, which is more relevant here, is to ensure that the testator is not being influenced by another. So it would occur to me that, for example, if the listener's son was in the room, I think there would be a presumption of undue influence. But a husband and wife relationship is different. And while it may be best practice for each to sign the will on his or her own, I think the fact that the listener's mother here was present, I don't think it will affect the will. The second part of the question then maybe is to look at the nursing home care query. And look, clearly the listener's mother's health and welfare is the priority, but we're just going to look at the financial and legal aspect. So it seems maybe that the listener's father may have created a life interest. So similar just to our previous query. So he might have said, I give, devise and bequeath my farm to my wife for life and her death and on her death to my grandson. Absolutely. So we'll just say that the farm, it's valued at €1 million. And your mother, though, only has a life interest in the land. So it's only the value attributable to the life interest that is taken into account for the fair deal. And to work this out, then there's a specific provision in, it's called the Tax Consolidation Act. So just by way of example, say if the listener's mother here, if she was 87, the relevant multiplier, it would be 0.1849. So the value of her interest, so it's 140 184,900 as opposed to 1 million. The other thing just for this listener to bear in mind is that there is a 3-year cap whereby the value of certain assets are taken into account for a maximum of 3 years. And this can, in certain circumstances, include the value, include a farm. And then just the final point is maybe again, similar to our earlier query. So just to remember that your mother here, that she could defer paying her contribution. She could apply for the optional nursing home loan.
Okay, but the long and the short of it is that the farm is unlikely to pass to this woman's son intact, that there's going to be something taken out of it to take care of her.
Yes,
her
but relatively small because she just has a life interest.
Okay. And this next question relates to someone asking about an estranged step sibling. My father had an affair many years ago and has a son. My siblings and I have never met him. He doesn't speak with my father. In his will, my father has left him €20,000, which will be honoured. But does he have a claim outside of this amount? He's an adult.
Okay. So, look, it's helpful that your dad has made a will because if he hadn't, the rules of intestacy would apply. And obviously this son would be treated the same as everybody else. So he would have an equal share to everything. So regarding a claim then against the will, I think the most likely basis that a claim might be made, it's called Section 117 of our Succession Act. So if I just can read that out maybe. So it says that where on application by or on behalf of a child of a testator, the court is of opinion that the testator has failed in his moral duty to make proper provision for the child in accordance with his means, whether by his will or otherwise, the court may order that such provision shall be made for the child out of the estate as the court thinks just. And the section then goes on to set out other factors that the court can consider. So I think it would be really helpful if your dad was to set out in as much detail as possible the reasons why he is making his will as he is. So he could put some detail on the will itself, and he could also maybe put together a letter of wishes. And then that if down the line, if this son does contest the will, the note in the letter, it will give a voice to your dad.
Okay, let's move on to a question about enduring power of attorney. We're a couple in our 70s caring for our physically disabled son in his 40s. There's no one else involved. How do we cater for each other as our combined health deteriorates? Should we do three-way EPAs, enduring powers of attorney, to joint accounts with our son to help avoid inheritance tax?
Okay, so yeah, I think you could make an enduring power of attorney. So you could appoint your spouse and maybe your son as attorneys. And just remember that an enduring power of attorney, you're looking at future mental incapacity as opposed to physical incapacity. Look, from the point of view of your son, I suppose the parents are both in their 70s, so he might consider appointing his parents, but somebody else, maybe somebody younger, if he can trust them. And then regarding a joint account, look, I suppose if the account, even if it's in joint names, but if the parents have put the money into the account, it still would be deemed an inheritance from the parents to the son. But I think there is lots of really good tax planning that this couple could do. So there are a number of reliefs and exemptions that might apply here. So, for example, there's a small gift exemption there for gifts, obviously. There's an exemption for support, maintenance and education payments. Again, this would be for a gift. There's a brilliant exemption. It's called dwelling house exemption. And the son here might be able to get this either as a gift or an inheritance. And then the other one that might apply here is that there's a relief. It's a gift or inheritance exclusively for the purpose of discharging qualifying medical expenses. Maybe expenses for medical care. So I think there's lots of tax planning that the listeners could do here.
Okay, it does sound like there are options anyway. We have time to try and fit one more in. We go to one of the shorter ones, perhaps. This relates to hospital wills at the end there, Elaine, please. I'm a nurse in a hospital. We listen to the show all of the time. We get questions from patients about their affairs and they worry about everything. Can somebody in a hospital make a will? And if so, can it be challenged down the line?
So, yes, they can. Obviously, it's going to be subject to COVID rules. Look, I think if any colleague was attending to a will for somebody in a hospital, they'd be extra vigilant, I suppose, in relation to capacity and outside influences. So as regards the challenge down the line, look, any will can be challenged, but absolutely best practice would be followed for somebody in a hospital. All okay. The T's would be crossed.
But get a solicitor on the case, basically, is what you're saying, isn't it?
I think in that situation,
yes. All right. Elaine Byrne, thank you very much for that. I'm going to take a break ahead of the news headlines.